Pepe's.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
And normally, we start hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History Moment written and produced by Melissa Sargent. However, we can't find it today. And it was for the El Paso History Alliance, and it was about the Mexican Revolution and the fact that, you know, a caller called in about that and said, you know, there was a building taken down, it's now Burger King. That was a hotel where Pancho Villa was staying, and a German agent came to try to turn him against the United States back when Pancho was friendly.
Ooh.
And Pancho threw the guy down the stairs to get rid of him. That building was flattened for the parking lot of Burger King. So there are things like that in downtown El Paso to note that have disappeared.
But where did he get ice cream? Where did Pancho Villa get his ice cream?
Oh, that's a different question. He didn't throw anybody down the stairs for that.
Well, if he didn't get his ice cream, he might have thrown
it was down. Baseball ice cream, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
It was baseball ice cream in the shape of a big baseball.
Right.
And that was over in what is now the CVS store.
And that's still standing.
And Max Grossman is back with us. JP, you're back with us. We thank you for rejoining us, both of you. Tell us about the CVS store. That was a big deal.
That is another success story. That's a Trost building dating from 1910. It has the distinction of being the fastest Trost commercial building ever built. The building was started and finished in 5 weeks.
Oh, my God.
From foundation to completion in 1910 following a fire. The fire that took out the previous building, by the way, actually killed the mayor of El Paso and a fireman. Who went to inspect the ruins, and a wall fell on them. It was very, very tragic.
Oh, yes.
Right. But the building went up very quickly, and the Buckler Block, which is a commercial complex, was home to the Elite Confectionery.
That's it. Mm-hmm.
Which was a favorite hangout of Pancho Villa, of Pascual Orozco, and other revolutionaries. And that is where Pancho would satisfy his sweet tooth, because he didn't drink alcohol, but he drank a lot of strawberry sodas and ate all kinds of candy. And he loved to spend time in that place. And there are photographs of him there.
Yeah.
Hanging out with his big boots, hanging back, having a soda with other revolutionaries, planning the coup d'etat in Mexico.
Aren't we lucky that Pancho Villa did not like alcohol? Because what would he...
Oh, my gosh.
As crazy as things got, what would have happened then? Oh, my goodness. But Pancho Villa was part of our history. It's part of downtown. And in the top of that building was another place where they were planning things, apparently, for part of the Mexican Revolution. Maybe the building adjacent to it. There was a Mormon community that I think had their headquarters up there. It's in that video. I remember doing the video. I don't remember all the details. Because we walked around downtown with Fred Morales and Leon Metz, and they showed us all this history that went on down there. And when they got to the Paso del Norte Hotel, it was incredible. Tell us some of the history that you're aware of.
Well, just for example, an example of how Trost buildings are intertwined with local history and Mexican-American history, the Caples Building, which went up in 1909, was the first reinforced concrete building erected by Trost and Trost, a revolutionary structure. It was 5 stories high.
It wasn't the Mills Building.
This is 2 years before the Mills Building.
Oh, I thought
Mills
it was
Building was the sixth rebar concrete building. The first was the Caples, which has a beautiful brick exterior, but its core, reinforced concrete, new technology. But the bottom line is that on the fifth floor, the top floor of that building, Francisco Madero had his offices there and was planning the first phase of the Mexican Revolution.
Wow.
Whereas just a block away, in the Roberts Banner Building, which was completed 1 year later in 1910, you had a spy network of the government of Porfirio Diaz, right, the current government of Mexico. And the United States Senate issued a report expressing concern about a spy network that numbered as many as 30 spies operating out of that building during the Mexican Revolution. So you had the revolutionaries in one Trost building. You had the Mexican government operating out of another Trost building.
Oh, my gosh.
And an atmosphere of intrigue and espionage.
And ice cream.
Throughout our downtown.
And don't forget the Sheldon Hotel. It was full of people before it burned down.
Yeah.
But, during the Mexican Revolution, it was a hotbed of spies. And soldiers of fortune would come through. And they were trying to get involved in a war of some kind. And not only sure which side they were going to be on, but they wanted to get involved. And the Sheldon Hotel was another location where some of these guys hung out.
Yeah, and other Trost buildings were, well, maybe I shouldn't say this, but they're not in business anymore, so it's okay. We're involved in smuggling operations, laundering money and gold for revolutionaries. financing weapons shipments. That was all part of the culture of that decade. And, of course, you had an influx of thousands, maybe tens of thousands of Mexicans into El Paso fleeing the violence across the border. And, of course, that created an amazing culture. And, by the way, resulted in Duranguito becoming a barrio, right? Because Duranguito, which was platted in 1859, really began as an Anglo/multi-ethnic neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But after 1910, with the Mexican Revolution, it assumed the character of a barrio. And that's when the tenements were constructed, and it developed a whole new colorful history.
And also, weren't there a lot of railroad people that used to stay in some of those boarding houses?
Yeah, I mean, Duranguito has always been linked to the railroad because the Union Depot was
right,
at the
right
eastern extreme, the western extreme of the barrio, exactly.
JP, you're with us here?
Yes, I am. And listening to Max's explanation is very interesting. Two things that should be, I think, historically noted. We talk about it as the Mexican Revolution, but the United States was very actively participating in that. And it called up the National Guard in the, what they call the Great Call-Up, the largest call-up ever of the National Guard. Plus, we had the regular army there on the border at the same time. And but for their participation, the United States would never have been prepared for World War One. It's what they learned in that contest. And by the way, Max earlier said that it cost 1 million lives in Mexico. It's more like 3 million lives.
Oh my
wow.
God.
And we just had a wonderful exhibit at the museum about the White Cross, which were the nurses that served on both sides in trying to treat wounded individuals. And it's such a heroic story, all part of the wonderful tapestry of history that El Paso has to share with the rest of the country.
Let's talk for a minute, if we can, about what might happen if Duranguito turns into an historic location, as we're discussing here. Now, the El Paso History Radio Show, we've always advocated preserving and promoting El Paso history. We've never been up against something like this. The Muir Building came and went so quickly, we didn't have a chance to get involved in that, which is by all explanations, at this point, a mistake. And that's just the way it looks. It's still a parking lot. We were promised there'd be something immediately going there. So that kind of thing has been going on way too much here. Is there something we can help the people with the money and the understanding of what they want to do? Find another place to do what they want to do in downtown?
Well, and let me just point this out, Jackson. This does not have to be local money necessarily. I mean, there are plenty of people that are part of the whole historical preservation effort from all over the United States. They're looking for accommodating places or a local government that will offer them some incentives to come in and be part of that entire endeavor. And the wonderful thing about it is you don't have to go out and build a whole lot of new buildings and disrupt the entirety of downtown. It can be done in a very congenial manner with all the existing buildings. And if I had a hotel in downtown El Paso and was given the choice of what I would like to have, this would be at the top of the list. I mean, to have my hotel right in the middle of a significant historical district would be a great boon over time for visitation and for very well-heeled patrons to come use my facilities.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, Max.
And Jackson, I just wanted to say, Jackson and Wendy and JP, there is one. There's only one building in all of Duranguito that is historically recognized, and that is the Pancho Villa Stash House, which is an RTHL. It's a recorded Texas historical landmark. There's a marker in front of it. It's got a new owner named Joe David, who is restoring the building back to the time of Pancho Villa. So that's where Pancho Villa's brother stored gold and money and objects and so on. It was raided by the United States government in 1915. It was one of the events that led to the U.S. invasion of Mexico when Pershing led the army throughout Chihuahua chasing Pancho Villa all around the desert. So that's the one building so far that has any recognition, and there are always people standing around looking at it, reading the marker. Now imagine if there were 12 buildings around that neighborhood, and there were schools leading field trips there, tourists having lunch, and so on and so forth. That really should be a major tourist attraction, the entire neighborhood, perhaps with a Museo Urbano, as Dr. Romo has often suggested, and maybe hotels, as JP is suggesting, that cater to the tourist economy.
Well, the tourist economy is something we should embrace here. But the city, for decades, has always kind of like not done history. When they got a chance, they didn't do the survey, Max.
Yeah.
I mean, that just floored me.
We have a culture, we have a political culture in El Paso that is most unfortunate. Consider, for example, that there's only one historic preservation officer in El Paso. San Antonio, is my understanding, has an office staffed by 11, okay?
And they understand the economics of this.
Yes, and we have a historic landmark commission that's appointed by city council and the mayor. It's a body of nine. And these are men and women who are experts. They're historians, architects, architectural historians, and they are routinely overruled. So, for example, the HLC voted unanimously to oppose placing the arena in that neighborhood. And the city's own City Plan Commission voted 4-1, same thing. The El Paso County Historical Commission voted 13-1 to oppose placing the arena in that neighborhood. And just yesterday, we learned that the El Paso County Historical Society, our oldest nonprofit focused on culture and history, they too voted to oppose that location. And I could go on and on and on. So we have a culture in which our city government, I'm talking about city council, and there isn't a single expert in that group who knows anything about architecture, history, and planning. They ignore their own experts. They ignore the people that they appoint. They ignore the preservationist and historical communities. They ignore everybody. And they proceed with these projects, and they don't bring the stakeholders to the table. And the result is what we're seeing now, acrimony, controversy, and ultimately legal action. It's all unfortunate.
I understand it. This has been the mindset there for decades, not just this council.
I've only been around for 8 years, but I've been here for long enough to watch the city demolish two Trost buildings and replace them with parking lots with no development plans in sight.
And one went up in smoke, was filled with cardboard boxes for some reason.
Well, that wasn't a Trost building.
No, but I mean, it was an historic, major historic downtown property.
Tremendous loss. A tremendous loss. It was a beautiful wooden Victorian from 1882, one of the two or three oldest buildings in downtown.
If it had been kept to code, maybe we'd still have it.
Code enforcement is a major problem in El Paso. I'm certain that it's a worse problem than in other cities.
Let's talk, JP, join in when you want to. Let's talk about a culture in El Paso that could be beneficial to everyone, and that would be to take the historical heritage that we have and put it out in front as the reason to do economic development. Wouldn't that be something like other cities are doing all over the country? Why don't we do that?
Well, you know, Jackson, I don't want to get involved in, you know, an acrimonious exchange with people on the city council otherwise.
No.
I just want to try and encourage them to look before they leap at what the other opportunities that may be available, that if they pass over them, they'll never get them again. What? And I think something, certainly, they're smart people on that city council and in positions there of importance that can figure this out. I mean, it's not rocket science. That we're talking about here is simply economic benefit, and how could you preserve a community and make it and give it the most far-reaching, enduring economic benefit to the city? And I think it certainly deserves a full discussion with all of the sort of political, let's say, posturing removed, and just say, you know, what's best for El Paso?
And it depends on who you ask, the answer you get. And that's really a shame because, I mean, I think, frankly, we could get a lot more done by preserving history and promoting history. I mean, we've been doing that on this radio show. I've been sitting here 17 years. It was another 5 years ahead of that Leon was here. And this has been the ongoing thing. We've got great history. Let's talk about it. But there's always been some sort of, no, we don't want to do that. And now I think with someone like yourself, JP, Max is on board now, we're seeing that the academics and the people with experience in this subject are now coming up and saying, hey, think about it. Don't keep bulldozing stuff. We still have a blank mirror building lot there. That's crazy. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, anyway, we're going to have to take a break here on that note. JP, what I think we'll do, if you like, we're going to take some calls in the second hour here, and just tell Shelley, our call screener, what you have in mind, and we'll walk them in here. We'll do that, basically. Wendy, we've got to do some stuff here about that trivia business.
We have a trivia question. Again, it's a multiple choice.
And we got prizes, and we got stuff.
We got prizes, right? So here's the question. The name of our city, El Paso, was first mentioned by whom? Okay, multiple choice. Number one, Benito Juarez in 1864. Number two, James K. Polk in 1848. Number three, Don Juan de Oñate in 1598. And number four, General Pershing in 1916.
So that's a multiple choice, and you've got to guess the one and you get a prize by calling us, 544-5876.
Call us if you know the answer.
And in the meantime, Sergio, don't hit the button just yet. We've got a major caller coming in named Bernie. Hey, Bernie.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How you doing?
We're good, thank you. I just lost JP, I think, but go ahead.
Oh, dear.
Mr. Sergeant.
It's always nice to listen to the radio so I can hear my wife calling from League City.
Well, she sounds okay.
Yeah, she does. Hey, I just wanted to pipe in on something that's been picked up again. Last year when Courtney Nyland was the city representative, one of the mantras that she was proposing was that the building of this would be wonderful because of the sales tax revenue that we would be able to within 1,000 feet of the arena. Now, what we found out in a little bit of research, didn't take a whole lot, two major sources of sales tax income in that area. One is hotels, one is foot traffic from Mexico. Well, hotels, most of them have this tax deferment from the city as it is, so there's no tax revenue there. It's all going right back to the owners of the hotels. And secondly, the people that are walking across the border or driving across the border to shop in El Paso, when they get back to the border, they turn in their receipts and get sales dollars. So that's kind of a fallacy that they're throwing out there to have everybody believe that this debt will be paid off by the sales tax for the people that are downtown within 1,000 feet in the arena.
Well, there's a lot of information that's come out of that crowd that is just not accurate, and it's just really too bad. What can you say now? Because this has gone pretty far down the river. And by the way, JP, we lost you. If you're listening, monitoring down in Houston on the iHeart Radio, give us a call back here. But is that a trivia question there, Shelley? On that? Okay, we're going to hold that after the break. Esteban, hold on until after the break. And in the meantime, Bernie, we thank you kindly for chiming in, as always.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. Thank you. Good job, guys.
Thank you, Max. And Pepe's today. If Max can make it, he'll be there. If not, he won't. Otherwise, we're going to go out to lunch.
Are you kidding me? I want my tamales.
Hey, Max says, are you going to be there today?
I want my tamales.
Oh, by the way, Max, Bernie, thank you kindly. We'll see you with Pepe's, all right?
Oh, I can't do it. I got to perform a wedding.
Oh, indeed. You go do it. You're not in the wedding, are you? You're the minister. Okay, fair enough. We'll talk to you again. Thanks a lot. All right, Max, it's now time for you to pick a special at Pepe's. It's the Oñate special, by the way. Any one of those.
I think I'm going to go with tamales.
Tamales. Yay. Okay. And do you know what that means exactly? Whatever price is on that menu, today the Oñate special of tamales is only $6. How about that?
That's a deal.
In fact, in your case, since nobody won the prize in the first hour, Max, I'm going to give you the coupon for $20.
Really?
Whoa, yeah, I can do that. You know why? Because I'm in charge of that stuff.
I'm inviting my wife.
And bring her out. In that case, I'll buy her lunch, too. Is JP back on the line with us? All right, we're going to ask JP to call. We got some callers now. We're going to take a break here and come back. 544-5876, call Shelley, tell her things. And Facebook, El Paso History Radio Show. We'll be back after these commercial breaks.
And so it begins again for the 48th consecutive year. We leave El Paso and head to Rio Doso for the first big ride of the fall. Are we going to have a good time this week? You bet your golden aspen we are. Now is the time we put the long, hot summer in our rearview mirror and head for the cool pines of Rio Doso for the annual Golden Aspen Motorcycle Rally held at the end of the Mountain Gods Resort and Casino. This isn't just any motorcycle rally. This is the 2017 AMA National Road Riding Convention. It includes a 55,000-square-foot trade show with more freebies than being an Oprah Winfrey studio audience. And speaking of freebies, Barnett is giving away a new 2017 Harley-Davidson Street Bob at the rally. So theoretically, you can drive up in a Chevy and be a hog on the way back. Yes, dreams do come true at Barnett Harley-Davidson or at BarnettHarley.com. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride. And in this case, maybe even a free ride.
Welcome to America Speaks by Zip, the polling app that lets you tell the nation what you think. Download the Zip app today. It's Saturday, September 16th. Kendall Jenner breaks the silence on her controversial Pepsi ad saying, "I feel like my life is over." Did she take too long to speak up? 70% of people polled think it was too little, too late. And pumpkin spice latte season is here, and it looks like the internet has mixed feelings about it. Are you into it or over it? 85% of women say they are so over it, so are 75% of men who were polled. That leaves a small remainder of people who count down the days to this time of year. And just so you know, I bought one the first day it was available at my local coffee shop and totally posted a picture with it on social media. Answer all of life's opinion-based questions with just one swipe. Download Zip, the polling app that lets you tell the nation what you think. In the App Store, it's free and 100% anonymous.
Here's some big news. America's largest RV show is going on right now at Camping World in Anthony. Now through September 30th, America's number one RV dealer is bringing show savings to a dealership near you. Shop travel trailers starting at $149 a month, motorhomes at $359 a month, plus low APR financing available on over 225 new and pre-owned RVs. Stop by Camping World in Anthony during America's largest RV show, this month only. Camping World RV sales prices and payments, not inclusive of tax, title, license, and dealer doc fees. See dealer for details. Offer expires 9/30/17.
Frigo, 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 know how to make it feel good.
Frigo means dry and cool in Latin, and that's exactly how you'll feel when you wear Frigo underwear. With ergonomic seams, moisture-wicking technology, and sports compression, Frigo is technical underwear designed for the ultimate performance and comfort. It's like having custom-made air-conditioned underwear. F-R-I-G-O spells Frigo. Buy yours now at iwearfrigo.com.
Think data breaches only affect companies? Think again. It could be your data being sold on the dark web. See if you're at risk with a free dark web email scan only from Experian. It costs nothing and it could help you keep your identity yours. Start now for free at Experian.com/scan.
Hey, this is Mario Lopez. So when planning to celebrate, please make sure to plan for a safe ride home. Don't risk getting a DWI. Don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it. So plan while you can at SoberRides.org. Drink, drive, go to jail. A message from TxDOT.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Real quick, got to tell you who's coming in here next week on September. God, what would that be? It'd be the 23rd. We're going to have the people from the El Paso Museum of History, the new director, Dave Grabitsky, and the MCAD director, Tracy Jerome.
Terrific.
They're going to come in next week and tell us all kinds of things they've got planned for the history of museum. And he's an educator. I talked to him yesterday. He's got some serious ideas on how to get kids in the museum and tuned into history.
I love it. Yeah, got to get him in.
And he's been a museum guy in Minnesota, and he's been going around the entire state of Minnesota revamping little historical societies into functioning units.
Terrific.
Great stuff. Okay, September 30, this is going to be a bit unusual. We have an El Pasoan who is now a full-time cameraman for NBC News, normally assigned to the White House lawn. There's the two other people beyond the show, myself included, and my brother-in-law, Doug. We've also been cameramen on the White House lawn in our history.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy calling in from D.C. will be Gil Solorzano. And Gil is a graduate of Eastwood High School here in El Paso. And he is going to tell us stories about doing the work at the White House. But also, he has recently been all over Florida in the middle of the hurricane.
Oh, my gosh.
For NBC News, the Today Show.
Wow.
So I saw him on his own Facebook page talking to us. So he'll have some stories. October 7, Archaeology Month. October 14, Concordia Heritage. October 21, Ruben Escandon Jr. Come and tell us about Cristo Rey. All right, getting to the trivia. What was that question again?
The name of our city, El Paso, was first mentioned by whom? Multiple choice question answers. You can choose from one of these. Benito Juarez in 1864. James K. Polk in 1848, Don Juan de Oñate in 1598, and General Pershing in 1916.
I have a personal favorite in there, but let's see what Esteban has to say. Esteban, good morning.
Good morning. I got to go with my first Benito Juarez.
Oh, no, he did not do that.
No, it wasn't him. But
thank you for trying.
Thank you for calling.
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay.
South of Paisano and Mesa, I believe it's Mesa, about a block south, there's a building called the Krakauer Building. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Oh,
could
yes.
you give me a history behind it?
Max?
I'm sorry, the history of...
Krakauer Building.
Krakauer Building. I'm drawing a blank.
He said the address, but I don't think that's where it is.
Yeah, say one more time.
Are you talking about the Cadets and Decadu Building on El Paso Street? No.
No, it's either on Mesa or Oregon, but it's a block south of Paisano, and it's got a bronze nameplate on the front of it, and it says Krakauer Building.
That is
K-R-A-E-U-K...
E-U-R, I think. Yeah,
a bunch of U's and R's. But he was, I think, was that the guy who was a cigar manufacturer?
No, you're thinking about Kohlberg.
Kohlberg, yeah, no, it wasn't him.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank, sir. I need to, apparently I need to do some more research.
I think it's about the same era as Kohlberg, and I think it is a Trost.
Max would know that.
Yeah, there are 38 buildings that went up downtown. Krakauer, it probably also has another name.
We'll take a look at that, but thank you for ringing up on that, all right?
We'll look into it.
Appreciate that. All right, going to Bill. Bill, we got a question for you. You got an answer?
Trivia.
Where's Bill?
Hey, Bill.
What happened to Bill?
Are you there?
Bill on one.
Well, I guess Bill didn't know the answer.
And Bill on one is going twice. All right, Wendy, what's the answer? We're going to give Max the other certificate, too.
The name of our city, El Paso, was first mentioned by Don Juan de Oñate in 1598.
It's the same answer for both hours on this trivia. How hard is that?
We were saving money on answers.
All right, we have somebody calling in before we go into our next break, which we need to do. David Salcedo, good morning, sir. How are you?
Morning, David.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Surviving. Hey, David. Good to hear you.
Hey, so just real quick, it's been a great program. Just want to give, obviously, kudos to Max, JP, and everyone that's helping to preserve Duranguito. I just want to say that the people that are involved in this are phenomenal people. They're really good people. They're great El Pasoans. And I think what we saw this past week, that we're not thankful for the Paul Fosters and the Woody Hunts of the world. That's just not true. The protesters were getting, were anti-police. That's just not true. We're good people. You guys are doing a phenomenal job. I applaud you all. And congrats. I mean, congrats on where we're at and what we're going to do. Hopefully this historical overlay happens, and it's going to be remarkable for the city, and we all know this. So just kudos, and keep up the great work.
David, thanks much, sir.
Thanks, David. He makes a very good point.
You take it easy. Well, there's a lot to be done here, and look what's already been done by these families, both of them, the Fosters and the Hunts. Fabulous stuff they've done.
Yeah, look, we'd be the first to say that. I mean, Paul Foster, Woody Hunt, these families have created thousands of jobs. They build hospitals, they give to charity on a scale that nobody else does, and they restore buildings. I mean, look at Paul Foster, Anson Mills Building, the White House Department Store, now the Plaza Hotel.
He's on his third one now, isn't he?
He's done some amazing things, and I'm a great admirer of his and the Hunts for all that they've done. But Mountain Star Sports is a concern that they're involved with, and there are opponents on this particular issue. We don't have to agree on everything. Let's just say that gentlemen can disagree reasonably, right? We hope that, I shouldn't speak for them. They've never stated their positions on this issue. But, look, we have nothing against them personally and would never attack them. We think that they do a phenomenal job for El Paso, and we're not necessarily going to agree on 100% of everything, but nevertheless, they've made great contributions.
We have the trivia guy back, but we've already answered the question, didn't we?
Well, once we gave the question out, I don't think a caller can answer it unless he wants to add to it.
That's Bill. You want to put Bill on? Shelly wants to put. By the way, thanks to the people in the control room very much. Shelly Sutherland in there. Sergio Valenzuela.
Yay.
We normally do that with an echo. All right, go ahead. Bill, we got you on here. Did you hear the question? Did you hear the answer?
Yes, Matt. Yes, sir. You couldn't hear me, Jackson. I was trying to say hello, and you said, going once, going twice, but you couldn't hear me.
Oh, it's a problem. It's not your fault necessarily. We probably screwed up here, but what's up?
Yeah, it was Don Juan de Oñate is what I
recall. Yeah. Okay, we're going to give it to you just for the heck of it. Just because
terrific work, Bill.
Now, you want a DVD or a Pepe's coupon?
Wait, do I still get my free tomatoes?
I'm hungry, Jackson. I prefer the Pepe's. I've got most of your DVDs.
Okay, thank you for that. I'll give you a coupon. No, Max, you get a coupon. You just don't get two, okay?
All right,
fair enough. But all right, Bill, you know how this works with Shelly, how to pick this up, right?
Yes, thank you.
And thank you for calling back, dude.
Okay. Can I add some?
I appreciate it, Jackson.
You take her easy. We got to take a break here, but what?
Well, I wanted to add some information about the Krakauer building, but we can do that.
Oh, go ahead. Quick.
Well, Krakauer, Zork, and Moy was built at 117 San Francisco Street in 1910, also called Zork Hardware. Later additions by Trost. The original building was on South El Paso Street, but that one has been demolished. And I'm looking at a picture posted by Barbara Given-Bainey.
I see it on my page, too.
Which is a handsome two-story building with a large cornice and a lot of detail on it.
It's her family, the Krakauer.
Well, right. There you go.
Yeah.
She's
Zork
related
Hardware.
To the building.
Zork, there you go. And also, by the way, we always start to thank Barbara. We missed
Barbara.
We missed the moment. Because she runs the Remember El Paso Win page on Facebook. And also one of her administrators working with her is Rick Duncan. So I want to thank all those people for what they do. There you go, Barbara. And thank you for posting what you did. Put it on the History Show if you can. We need to take another break, come back and tell you about El Paso. What is that? Oh, tell you about El Paso Week in just a moment. After this break, take a break.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
And so it begins again for the 48th consecutive year. We leave El Paso and head to Ruidoso for the first big ride of the fall. Are we going to have a good time this week? You bet your golden aspen we are. Now is the time we put the long, hot summer in our rearview mirror and head for the cool pines of Ruidoso for the annual Golden Aspen Motorcycle Rally held at the end of the Mountain Gods Resort and Casino. This isn't just any motorcycle rally. This is the 2017 AMA National Road Riding Convention. It includes a 55,000-square-foot trade show with more freebies than being an Oprah Winfrey studio audience. And speaking of freebies, Barnett is giving away a new 2017 Harley-Davidson Street Bob at the rally. So theoretically, you can drive up in a Chevy and be a hog on the way back. Yes, dreams do come true at Barnett Harley-Davidson or at BarnettHarley.com. Because your life, just like your new Harley, should always be a great ride. And in this case, maybe even a free ride.
Worried you're one of the millions whose identity may have been compromised in the recent breach? Be one of the millions who trust their identity protection to LifeLock. We use proprietary technology to detect a range of threats to your identity, from your personal information appearing on the dark web to payday loans in your name and a wide range of other threats. And if there's a problem, our identity restoration specialists will work to fix it. They know the steps to take and calls to make to resolve problems. Of course, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but rest assured that LifeLock has been helping people come out on the bright side of identity theft for over a decade. Join starting at $9.99 plus applicable taxes. Signing up online takes only minutes. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK to get 10% off when you enter promo code NEWS. That's promo code NEWS. LifeLock. More detection, more protection.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
The Houston area.
It's bad.
It's not over.
Record flooding.
Unprecedented.
Life-threatening situation.
I can't believe this is happening.
Two words. Rain.
It's going to continue to rain.
And help.
There's nothing to go back to.
We lost everything.
We lost everything.
So what do you do?
You can help those affected by visiting RedCross.org.
Because that's what we need to do in order to save lives.
You can give $10 to the Red Cross.
Start over again.
It is gone.
Text Harvey to 90999.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive.
Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Melissa will be back next week. She's down there in Houston cleaning up some things with her daughter, I think. And we'll see her next week. In the meantime, Wendy Polk is in here. And guess what's going on right now this week only in El Paso, Inc.?
Why, the Hunt Companies and Westar Bank say they're ready to build a $70 million 14-story office tower in downtown El Paso.
New questions of possible document tampering or forgery involving the sale of Abraham's Railroad Depot.
And a popular Italian eatery tucked into the foothills of Mont Cristo Rey celebrates its 20th anniversary.
I wonder what that could be. El Paso Inc. is where you find that out, elpasoinc.com, and available for home and business delivery.
Call El Paso Inc. at 534-4422 to subscribe.
Sunday on ABC 7 Extra, Breast Cancer Awareness. As Estella Casas begins her battle to beat breast cancer, we look at others fighting the good fight and share the keys to early detection. Sunday night at 10:35. The program is live and interactive, and you can send in your comments or questions via email, Facebook, Twitter, or just give them a call. Stephanie Guadian hosts Sunday night, 10:35 p.m. on ABC 7. All right, we got Max back here. We got JP, found him on the phone. And JP, I got you back on the right line here, I think, don't I?
Yes, I think you do.
Sorry about that, Chief. I warned you. not all the buttons go where they're supposed to. You ever thought we have a caller and then Max is still here? Go ahead. Any thoughts on your mind right now, JP?
Any thoughts? You know, I always have a lot of thoughts. I'm not sure I ought to voice them all on this radio station
okay,
right now.
Okay, then maybe we'll move on and take a caller. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
Max, you also were going to chime in here, but let's see what Elizabeth has to say. And if I lose you again, I apologize, JP, but here we go, putting you on hold and put Elizabeth on the air. Good morning, Elizabeth. What's up?
Yeah, good morning. I was neutral on your issues, but I've been listening to your program, and I learned a lot. So now I'm definitely for preserving the Dunar Depot.
You were against the idea to begin with?
I was kind of neutral. You know, I wasn't sure, but yeah, so now I know. But, you know, I think maybe there are more volunteers that are needed. I think a good idea would be like a door-to-door campaign or just an educational campaign where you could have a fact sheet and answers to some of the questions that people would ask. And if this issue goes to the voters, you're really going to have to educate the people because, you know, I didn't even know practically all of what you shared with us today. And I think we really need to preserve this place big time. So the little bit I learned, I'd like to share with my friends, you know, if it does go to vote. But, you know, it's hard to remember all this stuff. I need to have it down on paper. I hope volunteers call in and want to help this group and, you know, door-to-door campaign or just a big educational campaign? What do you think?
Well, I think Senator Jose Rodriguez is already going door-to-door with a campaign to help people understand Duranguito. You might want to call his office and see if they could use some help there. Max, you got some ideas?
Well, I just wanted to point out that a petition circulated around El Paso twice, the first petition and the second petition. Thousands and thousands of El Pasoans have signed the petition, which has been completed and deposited with the city clerk on Monday. And that petition puts forth an ordinance that will establish a local H overlay historic district in Duranguito, and that is going to be voted on in the next general election in 2018. So that process is underway, and I just want to point out to your listeners that between 70 and 80% of all El Pasoans we approached to sign the petition, I'm talking about Paso del Sur and their allies and supporters, signed willingly. So overwhelming support for establishing a historic district in Duranguito, close to three-quarters of El Paso by our count.
Elizabeth, thanks for calling.
That sounds great, but, you know, I'm not sure. How about the rest of the voters? You know, I'm not sure that I think the voters are going to vote for entertainment. So I just think, you know, that the education campaign needs to continue. And, yeah, I knew about the petition. I was reading all that. But then again, is that I learned so much, and now I changed my mind. I'm, you know, for preserving it because of what you shared today.
Well, Elizabeth, let me ask you this: you grew up in El Paso?
Yes, I've been to battle with City Hall with the group, and boy, I'm telling you, it's like you can't fight City Hall.
Well, yeah, but you can. That's the point. Let me move on, though, to another thought, and that is, were you taught your history in El Paso, like the Mission Trail, Keystone Heritage Site? Were you taught any of that?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, neither was I, and I grew up here. My father was an educator. I left town thinking, this place, nothing happened here. What we need to do is to educate the public on our general history. Like we're talking today about the Mexican Revolution. We're talking in general about the downtown buildings of Trost. There is so much history here that if we were just to harness that, we could take that into an economic development role. But if the people of the city do not know it, that's where you're at a loss. So there's various ways that can be done. I propose to a local TV station that we go back to those history reports like Leon Metz used to do. And one a week for like 30 weeks, put on the history of El Paso. So I'm trying to make that happen. That's what I am doing. I'm also putting out DVDs about El Paso history on various subjects. And, of course, I host a radio show. So a lot of us are doing what we can, but there are ways to get involved, and I really appreciate the fact that you've listened carefully to the show today.
Yeah, right. And, yeah, work with the media because, you know, sometimes they put out fake media. I just had to say that.
Well, you got to be discerning these days.
Except for you all. You all do a great job.
Wow.
Yeah, right. That'd be great. Okay.
Thank you.
Well.
Thank you much. And you can certainly check our work because it's history. Basically, that's right. Is that right, Max? I mean,
yeah.
We're historic people. All right, JP
Absolutely.
And Max, we got to take one more break before the top of the hour. Any thoughts before we go? Because we've stirred up a lot. We've also stayed, I think, above the controversy that's now blowing around. And frankly, that's not something we really want to get into. We want to talk about the history. JP?
Yeah. This is just a chance to register a thought. Something that if they wanted to really get visionary, there could be a common historical district shared with Juarez, where you could have a lot of foot traffic going back and forth in a very attractive area, protected area. And I think that sort of community of concern for history and historical preservation would be a great initiative.
What a great idea, a bi-national historic district. I love that.
I've heard other people talk about that in the past, but it didn't get anywhere. We'll see what happens. I think if we can just help the leaders of the city and the leaders of our economy to understand what you're saying about how this could be a bigger economy and actually a win-win for everybody. Now, if we can just figure out where to put this multi-purpose center that's not in Durangito, then I think that's a win-win for everybody, which is kind of what I think we need to go for. So, all right, taking a break here, JP on the phone, Max in-house. We'll be back in just a moment.
Here's some big news. America's largest RV show is going on right now at Camping World in Anthony. Now through September 30th, America's number one RV dealer is bringing show savings to a dealership near you. Shop travel trailers starting at $149 a month, motorhomes at $359 a month, plus low APR financing available on over 225 new and pre-owned RVs. Stop by Camping World in Anthony during America's largest RV show, this month only. Camping World RV sales, prices, and payments not inclusive of tax, title, license, and dealer doc fees. See dealer for details. Offer expires 9/30/17.
Guess who was voted best place to buy a used car? I'll give you a hint. It's the second time in 3 years. Give up? The best of the border winner is Crawford Buick GMC Used Cars. Wow, thank you, El Paso, and why not? With over 100,000 satisfied customers for over 40 years, with the most complete selection of cars, trucks, SUVs, luxury economy, and sports cars. And all from 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, and more. And with the top credit union and bank financing options just for you. Crawford Used Cars, Montana at Airway, CrawfordBuickGMC.com.
Last year, corporate data breaches were up 40%. This year, it could be worse. Find out if your data is at risk with a free dark web email scan only from Experian. In less than a minute, you'll know if your identity is at risk. Go to Experian.com/scan to help keep your identity yours with Experian. Last year, corporate data breaches were up 40%. This year, it could be worse. Find out if your data is at risk with a free dark web email scan only from Experian. In less than a minute, you'll know if your identity is at risk. Go to Experian.com/scan to help keep your identity yours with Experian.
iHeartRadio does something no other app or website can do. Thousands of live radio stations you can take anywhere. Want to listen to that station in Denver, but you're in Philly? No problem. In Austin, but you miss Seattle? No problem. Plus, iHeartRadio lets you create your own custom artist stations.
Hey, this is Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue on iHeartRadio.
Just type in the artist you love, and iHeartRadio creates a station just for you. Free radio and unlimited music all in one app. iHeartRadio.
Now,
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Back with you here, and JP on the phone, Max in the studio. And JP, we were talking during the break here about comparisons that we are aware of locally, kind of, like up in Las Cruces and Mesilla, the difference in how they treated history in those two areas. JP, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mesilla is a wonderful example of what you can do with your historical assets. And you can tell that almost without exception, their traffic there is all heritage tourists or people that are coming because they've heard about the historical assets and the interest that they generate. And I just suggest you look at Fredericksburg, Texas, if you want a prime example of a small community that just decided it was going to put in certain architectural codes to preserve its historical assets. I was there about 2 weekends ago, and the foot traffic in that town was unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, we have probably better history than most locations in North America. Would you agree to that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the historical tapestry of El Paso is so rich, and it needs to be acknowledged. And, you know, and you've got, as I just mentioned earlier, you've got great assets right across the river, too.
That's true.
Some of the oldest missions and churches in North America are resident there.
Well, the oldest Catholic church in Texas is in El Paso.
Yeah.
And the people who built the San Antonio mission that became the Alamo came from El Paso. They were already here and went there. And Max, you had a thought about your upbringing. You had history taught to you.
Yeah, when I was growing up, I lived in California for a few years, and sixth grade was local and state history. And by the time I was 12 years old, I learned all about Sutter's Fort and Point Reyes and San Francisco. That's something that's sorely missing in El Paso, is students at a young age really need to learn about our architecture, our history, so they develop a sense of pride in being an El Pasoan.
JP, your thoughts?
Excuse me?
Yeah, it sounds like you're getting busy down there. Are you at the museum?
No, I'm at my ranch here in West Texas.
Well, then the cows are getting into the corn down there, dude. But no, I appreciate you coming on here, JP, and talking about this, because El Paso is a bit of an unusual puzzle, but yet it can be solved by some of the same solutions that have happened elsewhere.
Sure, absolutely.
And
I mean,
go ahead.
This, you're not having to reinvent anything here. I mean, it's all there for your exploitation for the benefit of the economic benefit of all the citizens of El Paso, and something that it will be a source of real pride to people who live in that community, which will be important. And they'll want friends and others to come because of the acclaim that it will be receiving.
Also, this noise about Duranguito right now and the fact that it's becoming so much in the news, if it became an historic location, people say, oh, that's the one I heard about.
Yeah.
And I think that's something to mention here, that if the city can find its way to relocate the multipurpose center so that it meets the needs of the hotel people as well as the needs of the historic people, there's a win-win. And it could meet the needs of the hotel people by supplanting their income on tourists in their hotel by making them into heritage tourists. Right, Max?
Yeah, look, Mesilla has a population of less than 1,900 people, and their tourist economy is larger than El Paso's, and we have 750,000 people. Okay,
oh,
you think that in Mesilla they would allow an arena to be built next to their main square? They don't need it. They've got building codes in place. They've got incredible businesses and economy built around tourism. Then the opposite happened next door in Las Cruces, where in the early 70s, the city council sold them on economic revitalization, and they completely wiped out their entire historic core in a single stroke. And now the center of Las Cruces is an abandoned wasteland. And here in El Paso, we're at a crossroads, and we can decide whether we want to go the direction of Mesilla or the direction of Las Cruces. And I think that most El Pasoans would rather choose the model of Mesilla.
Oh, so it'd be. Oh, we got a caller. JP, put you on hold for a second. We've got now on the air, this is Evelyn. Good morning, Evelyn.
Yes, hi. Good morning. How are you today?
Surviving well, madam. What's on your mind?
I have a comment and an observation that I've made as I travel throughout, you know, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, and so forth. Texas does not list El Paso on their map. At the end of Interstate 10,
right,
anything west of Pecos is done. And so when I hear Max and others talking about a destination, El Paso does not appear. I just Googled for fun the AccuWeather map and had to zoom in three times before El Paso appeared on that map. And I actually searched weather in Texas. So if you ask why this appears, and other cities appear, but El Paso does not appear as a destination coming east, I mean west from Pecos.
Go ahead.
If people don't know where El Paso is, people traveling, I have searched it because I'm always interested in the weather.
Right. All right, let's get JP's take on it. Running out of time. By the way, I owe you a CD. I think I know who this is. Fair enough?
Yes, please.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Evan. We'll talk to you again. All right, let me go back to JP. JP, you heard that, and so the idea of West Texas versus the rest of Texas. You know my attitude. I think I know yours. I always say Texas history begins in El Paso, and you took exception to that, but in general, am I right?
Well, you know, obviously, some of the earliest events historically of historical importance. I mean, the first Europeans arrived on Galveston Island in 1528.
Oh, you beat me then.
You know, you had a steady stream of early explorers and conquistadors coming through El Paso, and you just have such a rich cultural connection with Mexico and the events there and their historical importance. And during that period of time, all the mining interests that were born in El Paso. I mean, it's just a fabulous story, and it's sort of in the tip of the tongue of Texas, but it is every bit Texas, and it's that cultural diversity that gives it its unique flavor, and that really is something that should be elevated.
JP, Brian, thank you very much for joining us today on the El Paso History Radio Show. We do appreciate it, and anybody gets to Galveston, stop into Bryan Museum. How about that for a plug?
Well, thank you very much. I would love to see you there.
Talk to you again.
You'll see a lot
thank
of El Paso
JP.
History there, by the way.
Yes, we will. Thanks a lot, JP. Brian, appreciate it. You take her easy. And Max Grossman, thank you for joining us today. We kept this on a high note because I think that's where this needs to be. It's been kind of rough for you this week. I thank you for coming in. And good luck with your endeavors. And good luck with El Paso history, everyone.
Thanks for having us, and it's always an honor to be on your program, especially with my friend JP. Thank you.
Indeed. And Wendy, thank you for joining us this morning.
Nice to be here.
I'll see you at home or at Pepe's today. We're going to Pepe's.
Let's go to Pepe's.
Let's go to Pepe's. Max may or may not join us.
I want my tamales.
Okay, Max is going to come out there today. And everybody else, will see you at Pepe's today. And thank you again in the control room. Everything you do in there, a lot going on today. Appreciate Shelley and to Sergio. Thanks a lot. Everybody, I'll see you next week here on the El Paso History Radio Show.
Listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.